All right, folks, now we're going to be joined on Over the Fence here with our guest today. And I'm going to try and get this right. Mave Yeshilkash.
Yeshilka, yeah.
Yeshilka. Okay. And from Turkey.
Yeah, all the way from Turkey.
Yes. And tell us about Turkey. Where were you born in Turkey, say?
I was born in Black Sea region, which is like north of Turkey, on Black Sea, like the sea. But I was up in the mountains, so it's actually from a really small village, like quite rural village up in the mountains. And yeah, I grew up pretty much playing in nature. That was my whole childhood, and like making dams in the river, climbing to fruit trees, and stealing fruits from neighbors' gardens, all sorts of stuff. Yeah. And later on...
So what sort of fruit do you grow up there, or grows up there?
Like temperate ones, apples, like pears, peaches, grapes, even actually kiwi fruit in the recent years that I started growing in my hometown. What else? Cherries, all sorts of like blackberries, raspberries. Yeah, I would say very wide range of fruit. Nuts.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, my family had hazelnut farms, so they made their living mainly from hazelnuts. So it's like fields and fields of hazelnuts. Yeah. And later on in my life, my family moved to a bigger city that was mainly for like education and job opportunities. But we always lived close to like the village where I was born. I have a background in science. I studied molecular biology and genetics. That was my passion, kind of understanding what's happening in the background of things, like in nature, in like smaller level, like molecular level. And yeah, I did quite a few like research projects around Europe, mainly on like cell biology, like really what happens in cellular level inside us, in our DNA and things like that.
And humans you're talking about?
I think I was more interested in humans than like plants, to be honest, at that stage. Like humans, and particularly like, you know, when sperm and an egg come together, like at that stage the fertilized egg already knows which part is going to be head, which part is going to be the leg. So that really fascinated me, that knowledge that has like DNA, the knowledge DNA has, and as soon as there's a fertilized egg that's going to be a human, it knows everything already. It knows what it's supposed to do.
That's interesting.
And from there, I ended up in New Zealand, and here I am,
And so, how long ago did you come over here to beautiful Aotearoa?
6 years now.
Okay.
Yeah, 6 years ago, and that has been a journey, to be honest. Yeah, lots of things going on. And New Zealand, when I came to New Zealand, I had this silly expectation that New Zealand is going to be exactly like Europe, or I lived in Scotland, so I expected a little bit like English, Scottish culture.
Kind of is, sort of.
But nah, I think it's a lot more like island vibes. To be honest, when I came here, it was a little bit shocking to me how relaxed people are. Because, in Turkey and in Europe, everyone is just very, I don't know, different vibe. So I that. And when people ask me, what do you like about New Zealand? That's definitely laid back, relaxed culture.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard that from a few people who come over here. Yeah, so that sort of vibe. I suppose, because I've grown up with it, I'm just kind of used to it, I suppose. But,
yeah.
Most people do seem relaxed and chilled out, which is great. I feel like.
And also, like, everyone is like, oh, like, it's your life. Like, whatever. You live your life. I really like that as well. Again, it's cultural difference. In Turkey, people are very, this is very positive. People look after each other, like, quite an intense way. But also on the negative side, like, everyone is, like, very nosy and want to know what's going on in your life. In New Zealand, I like that it's a bit, it's as much as you share, not like everyone has to know everything, you know. It's a good part of it.
So what drew you here in the first place, do you think? Do you remember?
I do remember, my ex, I met with him in Scotland, and he's a Kiwi. And he was telling me lots about New Zealand, and he was actually kind of obsessed with New Zealand. And I was like, oh my God, like, what is this country? I knew New Zealand existed somewhere in the world, but I didn't know where it is. And I remember he was telling me, like, oh, didn't you recognize the silver fern? But I was like, what's the silver fern? I had just no idea, but he told me a lot. And yeah, I wanted to come visit him, but also I wanted to come see this beautiful country, obviously from Lord of the Rings. And, you know, there was just like a big, like, what a beautiful country. Yeah, but it was like nothing what I expected in a positive way. Okay. I think it's a lot. Yeah, it's so much more than that. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So when you first came over here, were you thinking to yourself, oh, well, I'll see if I can get a job in science doing molecular biology or something like that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So when I came here, it was like a little bit, I'm just going to like live here for a bit and see how it goes. And then soon after that, I decided I want a job in my field. And I really enjoy like science and research. So that was like big passion at the moment. And I couldn't get a job in science, but I got a job actually in Raglan Area School as well as Teuku School. So I was doing like a science clubs and working with kids. That was like my initial work, which I enjoyed lots. And then I started working in Hamilton in a more commercial lab, doing mainly like chemistry and different fields of science, I would say. Yeah.
All right. And so you did that for a little while, and somewhere along the lines you ran into permaculture. And do you remember how that happened?
Yeah. So when I came to New Zealand, it was a little bit surprising to me to see how like people grow so much food. Like, again, I'll use Europe or Turkey as an example. Like, no one really grows tomatoes in their backyards in big cities. Like, I didn't really experience that until I came to New Zealand. And yeah, I just met with so many gardeners, and yeah, that was like around me already. But I was also going through a little bit hard period, like mentally, and it helped me to be in the garden and like just work with the soil. Like that was like working with myself. But I think the peaking point was that, like, yeah, I wanted to have a garden that's like really self-sufficient, and I don't have to work as much because I had a full-time job in Hamilton. And during that period, I was on like a crop swap. This is like a event happening in Raglan. You can swap like your garden related anything. And I went to someone's house to swap some eggs for veggie seedlings, and when I saw their like garden, I was like, oh my God, like this is what I want. And she's like, yeah, she's really experienced in permaculture. She started telling me about. And from that, I got a scholarship to do a permaculture design course. And I think it was so meant to be. I was suddenly in the middle of it. And for me, I like had this understanding. It's going to be so much about like gardening and what happens in the garden. But it's so much more than that. So it's now a little bit I'm like trying to open that to people and see like how it has so much more to offer, obviously, on top of gardening. Yeah.
You're talking about in the social kind of realm as well, and things like that, behavioral realm and things like that.
Yeah, it's like initially like permaculture was created to apply as like as an alternative way to agriculture, like the agriculture we know. But as the years went by, like those principles, because the permaculture principles are like adapted from nature, so that like what happens in nature, they just boil them down to some principles, as well as like indigenous wisdom all around the world. So it's a knowledge that already existed. And yeah, they were using this as to create this sustainable agriculture. But later on, it just became in a way that it can be applied to other like behavioral, economical, political like areas. So it's really wherever you want to apply it. It's very flexible.
Okay. And so how long have you been out at Hākia, Phillips Road out there?
6 years. That's like six the years. First place I came and stayed. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been there 6 years. And, well, initially, this is like a little bit, I guess, like for me emotional like topic, because I feel like the land has taught me so much and has been part of my journey in like a massive way. Yeah, I come from a like really small village where my family grew like literally 90% of their food, like, and they made everything like cheese, butter, and that was their living. But along the way, I did the normal things. I moved to a city. I studied. Like, I was a city girl. And I think when I came back and started living at Hakia, it just really made me. And also in combination with Maori culture, I feel like I have to mention this, like the concept of whakapapa, like where we come from, where are our roots, like that, and being on the land of Hakia, like it really made me connect to my childhood and made me understand like how important to have that, like as a child growing up in nature and picking a fruit from a tree and yeah, like growing with, playing with nature. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Nice. All right.
Yeah.
And so, okay, you've been out there, what, say 6 years, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. And was it always like a permaculture garden, or has it, you've just kind of developed that? Was it you and Dan, you were saying?
Yeah.
Have you developed that only recently, or was it always kind of that way?
I would say, because as we said, like the permaculture principles are, it's a knowledge that already existed, but permaculture is more like an umbrella term that brings them together. But the farm was a family farm, and it was used for cattle and sheep. So I wouldn't say in that sense, like it really used those like working with nature kind of principles, but it had a lot of like recycled materials. Shout out to Dave, like Dave and his friends, like they used so much like recycled materials, and they came up with really, yeah, like really funny solutions, which was inspiration to me and Dan. Like when we looked at their work, we were like, oh, like they didn't have any money, but they really made the best of the resources they got. So that part, I would say, very permaculture like thinking. And what we added, like, I am passionate about like, yeah, creating those like food forests and creating those invisible structures that like connects everything together. And Dan is very passionate about infrastructure. So he's always like trying to create that like infrastructure that will last a very long time. And one of the principles in permaculture is actually about like making things last for 7 generations. And that's like really concept, like creating things that's regenerating in a way that, yeah, they'll be there generation after generation for a very long time. Yeah.
It's a good way to think about things, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
7 generations, is, yeah, it seems like a long, long time, but it's a great way to approach things.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Thinking, you know, long term and stuff like that. And
Yeah. There's like a major things about like this long term thinking. Like when we look at the modern society we have, there's very high supply of everything. Like we are a little bit disconnected from where things come from or how much it costs to get this or like what's the work involved. And it's like now like the research is showing that made us lose our ability to think long term, plan for long term, and actually look after ourselves in that sense. So we really lost the abilities to, I will use this word, survive, because like if something happens, we have like this comfort of, oh, I'll just go to the supermarket to buy the apple, but it might not be there.
Yeah. It's interesting that, yes. I've never actually heard that bit of research before, but yeah, right. It's sort of affecting us on a psychological level there.
Yeah.
It's just like, instead of like planning long term, everyone's just like, oh, well, you know, I'll go to the supermarket next week or whatever. And
Yeah. And that's another part I like about permaculture. It's actually looking a lot into like what's happening in modern society. These are, we already know, like we are losing the sense of community, and that's affecting people. Like there's really high rate of depression, and yeah, even like people, like they're always, even though we have social media that connects us together, like
not always
all across the world, like there's this high, like people are feeling lonely, and yeah, like all this principles on permaculture, they look into pre-industrial societies because they made things as well, right? And like some of the things we see, like Rome Empire, we see there like cities that's still standing up and you could actually run it and use their like water systems and everything. So it's a little bit the same, like taking those same logic. What happened since we started like getting these fossil fuels out and like life kind of jump started, or like we jumped into another level of being, like we're just consuming these fossil fuels that Earth made over billion and billion years. And now there's this big fear around like they're going to run out. What's our plan B? Like we have to come up with something, electric cars, like wind power, sun power. Like, yeah. So it's permaculture is like an alternative way. Like what can we actually do about this? And also recognizing the problems out there, but focusing on the solution. Yeah,
I love that. They just dwell on the problems, right? It's solution focus, you know, which is a very healthy way to look at anything, really. You know, it's like, oh, well, you know, this and that's happened, but oh, well, you know, something good might come out of it, you know, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, whatever, you know.
So, it's a lot about like our perspective. Like when we change the way we look at things, often the answer is right there, right? Like even when there's a problem, like, we just have to change, like, where is this coming from? And we won't gain anything if we just keep dwelling on the problem. We have to take the action. I feel that's all life about. We have to take the action and make it better for ourselves. And like that's like the first stage. Like if we make the changes in a personal level, and then it's going to be like in our fun, our family, and then from there, like our wider community, and slowly it will make its way to global stage, and then we can make a big shift. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I like that. Yeah,
and on that topic, I think like when I was growing up, I had this really big anxiety around like what's going to happen to Earth? Like we're ruining the Earth. There's so much pollution. And I was like, oh, like I really felt like we fucked up. Like it was really stressing me. I was like, there's no way going back. Like it's really like, yeah, it was quite stressful for me. But then like this perspective of like, yeah, problem can be the solution. Like we can make a change. It's not all like dark and gloom, and like it's not that. Like we can actually take some actions and make a positive change. It's just up to us to do that and doing it together as well. Like we are stronger together.
For sure, yeah. The community is a big one. Interconnectedness, and I guess, you know, this is the sort of, I guess, lines back up with all your molecular biology sort of stuff in a funny kind of way, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I suppose, you know,
exactly.
Discuss with that, and you know, it all makes all these small things make the one big whole and all that, right?
Yeah, I really like that you connected back to for sure, because what is like in molecular level is also in a bigger level as well. Like it's all connected, but it's also like full of the similar patterns, right? Like if we understand those patterns, we can actually use those patterns for our own benefit. And I mean, that's amazing.
And you had a thing at Hākia on Saturday just gone. How did that go?
Yeah, we had an introduction to permaculture course, and that was funded by Raglan Food Co., Raglan Coconut Factory. Big shout out to them for...
Good on your Raglan Food Co.
Yeah, thanks for supporting this, because we... I guess like Dan and I had this vision when Hākia was becoming what it is right now, to create a space for transformation and connection to land. And from that, like we, like slowly it became this community, like, yeah, community focused action. And we wanted to like share knowledge that's out there with people, to upskill people and bring people together and connect to people. So from that, like Raglan Food Co. funded us to run this course, Introduction to Permaculture, and it was an amazing day. We started with some theory on these permaculture principles and looked at like living examples on the land, like how we applied these principles to like our farm, as well as like to ourselves, like some examples of invisible structures. It means like things we don't really see but still affects our life, like economy or like our relationship with other people. We had a lovely lunch made by Holly. She's a chef, and she also used all the food that was grown in the garden. There was this like magical stuffed pumpkin. I can't still get over it. It looks so good, like massive, like stuffed with all these grains and just really beautiful. And then later we had a session with Georgianne, who did Indigenous Wisdom, and she talked lots about Maori way of connecting to land and some of like their values and how we can integrate those values into our lives, which I think is really important part of everything permaculture and living on Aotearoa. Like, we have to connect to this wisdom. They've been on the land for a very long time. They observed and understand what's happening on this land. So there's like a big wisdom to unlock there. And I feel like she delivered it really well. So it was an amazing day overall. And
great. Oh, well, good on you for bringing it all together. Sounds sounds like a good day. Very informative and interesting and tasty day, well, sounds like.
Yeah, it was. For sure. Yeah, it was an amazing day. And, if anyone is interested, like, get in touch. We, like, created a waiting list because there was so much interest in that. And that's another, like, amazing part, like, seeing people, like, coming together. Like, in the beginning of the course, we had, like, little circle and talked why we are here. And to me, that's always, like, the amazing part. Like, yeah, like, some people are there to learn about gardens, and some people are really scared for, like, future and what's going to happen to their kids. And so people come from all different backgrounds, but this is a place, like, we can be together and, yeah, like, bounce off from each other. Like, it was really, like, people had so much to share as well. Like, yeah, it always amazes me, like, being around people, how much we learn. Yeah, quite right.
Mm. And you're also involved with PINS now, the Permaculture Institute of New Zealand. I got their newsletter just a couple of days ago, and there you were writing writing a piece about one of the principles, wasn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. I got nominated to be on the council, I think it was like last year, November. And
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, we've been like working on hard. So everyone on the council is like new except Fiona. She's the chair. We're working really hard to bring a new face to PINS. Like, it has been a little bit dormant and lots of things going in the background, but we want to, because the goal of PINS, permaculture in New Zealand, is to promote permaculture and develop permaculture and, like, yeah, help people in that sense. So I took on the newsletter. I have a little passion for writing and, like, poems and things like that. So I thought that's like the best area I could actually contribute. And it has been going well. I just came up with this idea. I was reading actually David Holmgren's A Sense of Permaculture book. And I had to come up with a plan, like what I need to write for newsletter. And to me, that was like made so much sense, just going back to the principles and sharing it with people to understand what is this principles we are talking about. And then the first principles actually observe and interact. And that's like the biggest reminder to us, like before we like react or before we take an action, we have to step back and observe, like, what's happening around me, like, what's happening in me, like, really understand and take the action from that place.
And you can apply that to, you know, all over life, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Just flying off the handle at something, and you sit back and, okay.
And that's why I like all these principles. Like, sometimes, sometimes it's hard to understand how they can be applied to our personal levels, but this kind of like this principle is a good example of it. Like, it can be applied to any place, even in a, like a business model. Like, you're not supposed to, like, let's say, start printing like this or that. Like, your first stage is actually observe, like, who's your client, like, what they want, like, understanding what's happening there and taking action, like, as a response to that. So I really love, like, each principle, how they are applicable to all areas of life. And that's why I think like permaculture is an amazing resource for all of us that we can use to create like sustainable life. And not only in the sense of like having this agriculture that's not destroying the land, but also having a sustainable life within ourselves, like what's happening, like how we can nourish ourselves, how we can develop ourselves. Yeah.
Great thoughts. I like that.
Thanks. Yeah. For sure.
All right. So if anyone wants to get hold of the Pins like newsletter or is there, can I just like, send an email somewhere and start getting the material like that?
You can be member to PINS, Permaculture in New Zealand. So if you go to Permaculture New Zealand website, you can be member. There's a sliding scale of payments as well. So you can choose what you can afford. And you will see the news. You will receive the newsletters. As well as on Facebook, social media, you can follow Permaculture in New Zealand and they get to share to there as well.
All right.
Yeah.
And if anybody wants to come check out what you're doing over at Hākia, how do folks go about that?
So for Hākia, again, we have a website, hakiaretreat.com, or you can go to social media, Facebook or Instagram as Hākia, Hākia Permaculture, and we are there. Just follow us and stay in touch. If you have any questions, we are always happy to answer people's questions. And we have more courses and little events lined up for the rest of the year. So just put your name down to be on the waiting list and we will be in touch for more with you. Yeah.
Sounds great. We better wrap up the show. That's what we better do. Thank you very much for coming to Marvo. I really appreciate that.
Thanks, Greg.
Really interesting chat. I really enjoyed it. Thank you. And we might even get back in again another day. How does that sound?
Yeah. Should we do more? I'm keen.
Okay. All right. Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it, folks. That'll do for the show today. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks again for Marvo for coming in. And yes, we'll see you again next week. All going well. And have a lovely day out there, folks. And take it easy. Actually, what's the Turkish kind of way to say something like take it easy or see you later or something like that? Or have a great week or something like that.
İyi haftalar.
İyi haftalar.
Yeah.
Yeah? What does that mean?
It's like have a good week. I can't come out. I feel like, oh my God, I don't know what.
All right, let's leave. İyi haftalar, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Ka kite.